We're continuing our series in the Gospel of Luke. We've come to Luke chapter 13, verse 18. We're going to look at verses 18 through 30. So I invite you to turn there in your Bibles if you haven't found it already. There are pew Bibles. I don't know the page, but there's a table of contents. So you can find it. Luke 13, 18. Let's go to the Lord and ask for His help before we look at His words together. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the Scripture that You've given us. We thank You that You've told us what's true. You've told us who we are. You've told us who You are. We've told us how we can't go to You, but You've come to us in Your Son. And I pray that You would reveal Him to us today as we look at Your Word. Help us to take this for what it is, to believe it, and to live it out. We pray that You would do Your work among us this morning, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The last section of Luke that we looked at, Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath day, caused a little bit of a controversy. We left Jesus in the middle of a conflict. The religious leaders were ticked off at Jesus and were opposing Him. And the ordinary people were praising God and saying, "This is so wonderful." And they were thrilled with what Jesus was doing. So there's this conflict. Since Jesus was facing this powerful opposition, this question would come up. You know, will His movement succeed? If all the people in power are against you, is your movement going to get squashed? Because Jesus is starting a movement, right? He's sharing with people about the kingdom of God, how they can connect with God, and He's inviting them to come to faith in God through Him, and His kingdom, God's kingdom, is growing, and is here already as Jesus proclaims this message and people believe it. But, you know, we've got powerful opposition. Will His movement succeed? And we hear of opposition to the church around the world today, too, don't we? All around the world, there's powerful opposition to the church. Some of it more organized, some of it less organized, some of it even violent. And we hear dire statistics about how the church is doing around here. All the people that are not interested in church anymore, and you might kind of think, is this movement going to succeed? Is God's kingdom going to continue to expand? Is Jesus going to win after all? Are there going to be a lot of people in heaven, or is it just going to be just a couple? What's going to happen? Is there going to be success here? And we think of it in just in our area. We think we're just a small church. Today it sort of feels like a medium-sized church with all of you here. But we're just a kind of a smallish church in a region that generally has little appetite for knowing God and following after God. Is this thing going to succeed? What's going to happen? Is this movement going to succeed or not? And this is how Jesus addresses these questions. And as always, Jesus kind of redirects the question to something else. But this is what Jesus taught about His kingdom. He taught that the kingdom of God is tall, it's deep, it's narrow, and it's wide. You ready for this? This is where we're going today. The kingdom of God is tall, it's deep, and it's narrow, and it's wide. Somebody should write a song about that. Okay, first of all, the kingdom of God is tall. Let me read starting there, verse 18. So He was saying, Jesus was saying, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and threw into his own garden. And it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches." We'll stop there. Jesus told this story about God's kingdom. And the kingdom, he says, this is the kingdom of God that he's talking about. And the kingdom is the reign of God. Don't think of it in terms of armies and castles. Think of it in terms of God's reign in the hearts of those who are willing to accept his reign, those who are willing to believe God and receive him and submit to his reign in their lives. So as people, more and more people believe in Jesus' message, the reign of God expands. And that's what he's talking about, the kingdom of God. And in the last section of Luke, as we mentioned, Jesus had stirred up both opposition and acclaim. Some people are for him, some people are against him. The question, will his movement be successful? And here's how Jesus describes the kingdom. The kingdom is like a seed growing into a tree. It's gardening season, right? And, seeds are tiny, you know? And you throw them in there, and what happens? I mean, I think about the sunflower seeds, and I don't know if the men go to prayer at Mr. Bucky's house. That's what my son Marco calls it, because he likes to go to Mr. Bucky's house and see the goats. But Mr. Bucky has a bird feeder, right? And the sunflower seeds fall on the ground, and the birds don't get all of them. And in the summertime, those things are enormous. You know, he's got 15-foot sunflowers in his yard. Maybe not that big, but really big. And tiny seeds become huge, huge plants, right? Think about, we used to have the baptism service down at the pond, right? Think about those huge pine trees around the pond. A tiny pine nut falls into the ground, and you've got this enormous, colossal, monumental tree and all kinds of creatures living in there. It's amazing. If you've been to the trout hatchery on Black Hill Road, have you been there? There are these enormous pines, I think, that is what they are, and herons, the great blue heron, is that right? They nest up in those trees. I mean, those birds are as big as me, and they build their homes in there. These huge, lots and lots of them, huge birds build nests, I guess, or at least they roost at night. I mean, you don't think of a heron as a roosting bird, but it is. And these huge herons are up there in these trees at night with, you know, just hanging out. And sometimes they'll get scared and all of them will take off at once and it's thunderous. Or you think of a tiny acorn becomes a huge oak. Or Jesus was talking about the tiny mustard seed which grew into this big plant or this big tree. Something tiny becomes something huge. It's incredible. Okay. And in the Old Testament, the remnant of Israel is described like a tree. And let me read this to you out of Ezekiel. Have you been doing your devotionals in Ezekiel? That'll knock your socks off. Okay. Ezekiel, verse 17, verse 22. And Ezekiel is a prophet, and he's talking about how the nation of Israel is... The nation of Israel is undergoing distress, you know. The enemies are oppressing Israel and conquering Israel, and it looks like there's going to be nothing left, but God is going to preserve a remnant and bring them back to the land. And the tree which has gotten cut down, there's going to be a sprig which grows from that stump and becomes something flourishing again. So let me read. Then the Lord... Thus says the Lord God, I will also take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and set it out. I will pluck from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the high mountain of Israel I will plant it, that it may bring forth boughs and bear fruit and become a stately cedar. Talking about the nation of Israel, which he's going to restore. He's going to break off a branch from the top of the tree and replant it. Okay. And birds of every kind will nest under it, and they will nest in the shade of its branches. All the trees of the field will know that I am the Lord. I bring down the high tree, exalt the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will perform it. Okay, that's what the Lord says. So the birds nesting in the branches refer to the people of the foreign nations who enjoy peace and refuge because of the prosperity of Israel's kingdom. And Jesus' kingdom is like that. You know, it starts small, but it grows to be a tall, strong, flourishing tree. Like a tree, the growth is organic. It's slow. You know, you see that, you see the enormous sycamore tree that Mary was talking about at Sunday school this morning, the 20-something feet wide tree. I mean, it didn't happen overnight, right? Ring by ring, it grew until the whole Hale family cannot span it. It's an enormous tree. It happens slowly, organically, over time, but it keeps growing bigger and bigger. That's what the growth of the kingdom is like. That's how Jesus pictured it, and that's how the movement of Christianity ensued, right? Can you just think of this? That a small band of wandering preachers in the backwaters of the Roman Empire, without any place, you know, without a permanent home, you know, who were shouting at not very important people to repent and receive the kingdom of God. From there, Christianity has spread all over the world and become the biggest religion, right? That's what's happened. It's been amazing. It's spread from there, slowly, organically, but, you know, steadily growing. And we can think of it in terms of our local situation too. Our church may seem small, but we're part of something big. We are one of the branches of something huge, one of the twigs of something huge. And the kingdom will continue to grow even under opposition. God's kingdom will grow. And what Jesus is telling his listeners is, hey, it seems small now. We're like a seed, but it's growing. And you know what? And when he comes back, everybody is going to recognize this is it. You know, the kingdom is here. Right now, you might not recognize it. It's just a seed. But when he comes back, wow, it's spectacular. Okay, and how does this growth happen? I mean, of course, in the long run, it happens when Jesus comes back and makes everything right. But even now, it's growing as we obey the Great Commission. And some of you got a chance to hear our missionary that we support, Johan Gauss, the South African man who works with disciples in Africa, in very difficult places. And he likes to go not into the cities, but into the bush, he calls it, and work with people who don't have much, but he gives them the gospel. And this is the model. He takes it from Jesus working with Peter, James, and John. You have one person working with three people, and then each of one of those three works with three more, and the growth is exponential. It just shoots out, and this way, using this model, he's got thousands of small groups that his ministry supports, thousands of them in these among these simple people in Africa, in places where the people aren't acclaimed and aren't esteemed, but the gospel is spreading and growing. And that will happen here too as we obey this Great Commission, as you share in your Jerusalem and in your Judea and Samaria. It'll go out to the uttermost parts of the earth as you don't just hold on to what God has given you, but pass it on to somebody else. And they pass it on to somebody else. That's how the tree grows bigger and taller. So the tree is, or the kingdom of God is tall. It's also deep. Let me read verse 20. And again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour, or three measures of flour, until it was all leavened." Okay. Leaven is an image of the power of the kingdom. Just a little bit makes an enormous difference. As a matter of fact, Zuleika was making pizza dough this week. there's a little bit of the leaven, you know, you get the little Fleischmann's packet, you know, you've got a lot of flour, but the little tiny Fleischmann's packet you pour in there, and it's sitting on the counter, and she says, you know, it's just not rising. Nothing's really happening here, and it hasn't risen enough, and we don't have time to make pizza right now. I'll just put it in the fridge, wrap it up in something and put it in the fridge, and the next morning I open it up, and there's like no room for milk in there. And that thing has just exploded. Just a little bit makes a huge difference. It's something that comes from the outside. It's not something that's within the dough itself already. You've got to get the little packet and pour it in there, or however you do it. I mean, some of you probably make sourdough bread and you keep this leaven going all the time, don't you? You New Englanders are so handy. It's not from within, it's from the outside, but and in the first century you can imagine the Jewish woman working it into the dough. It's hidden, he says, it's hidden inside the dough. Okay? But it permeates the dough and it transforms it. It spreads out, just a little bit spreads out and permeates the whole lump of dough. It's incredible. And that's how the gospel works in your heart too. It comes from outside of you. You know what our world tells us today? Look into your heart and find something wonderful in there and go with it. And just look inside yourself and be a stronger person. Is that going to happen? Tell me no. No. If you're going to be transformed, something has to come in from the outside. The gospel comes in from the outside. The power of God comes into you from outside and transforms you. Then you receive it into you from the outside, the power of God from outside yourself into your heart. You receive it, but then it transforms you from the inside out. That's how the gospel works in your heart. When you take it in, it works from within you to make a radical transformation in your life. It changes your life. Do you have it within you on your own power to become a holy person? You don't. You need God to come in and transform you from the inside out. And that's how the kingdom works in the world too. It's from God. It's not something we're doing. It's a God thing. And its citizens are not of the world, but we are in the world. We don't belong. We are citizens of heaven, but we're living in the world and we're doing our thing here. Okay? It works quietly. It works gently. It's hidden. You don't see it, but it turns the whole world upside down. And it's amazing the power that the gospel has to transform a town, to transform a society if people will receive it. It can turn the world upside down. And Christianity has done that in the world. It changes societies for the better. And I love the report I sent to you a few years ago. Christianity Today had an article by the sociologist who studied what happens when missionaries go to places where the gospel hasn't been yet, and they try to convert the people for Christ. What happens to those societies? Evangelical missionaries who try to convert people. You know, that's what they're doing. They're trying to get them to change their religion. Okay, they're trying to convert people for Jesus. What happens in those societies? More hospitals, more schools, more human rights, women's rights, democratic processes. That's the kind of things that happen there. When Christian missionaries go in, the societies are transformed. It's changed for the better. That's what's happened in the world. It changes societies for the better, and that's how the kingdom works. It wins souls for God. That people who were far away from God are now close to God. It's amazing. Okay, so we've seen the gospel, or the kingdom of God, is tall and it's deep. Now let's talk about how it's narrow and wide. What? It's narrow and it's wide? Yes. Okay, let me read. And he was passing, this is verse 22, and he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door saying, Lord, open up to us, then he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. I do not know where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's severe disappointment, right? When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves being thrown out. And they will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. The great reversal of the kingdom. So the kingdom is narrow. The question that somebody asked Jesus is, are just a few people being saved? And I think this is what this question implies. Obviously, I'm going to be saved. Now, are there going to be other people, who are going to be saved too? Or is it just going to be me and people a lot like me? You know, I think that's kind of the tone of that question. You might not see it, but you can, when he, just reading the question, but you, I think by reading Jesus' answer, that's what the tone was. Is it just going to be me and people like me in the kingdom? Or will there be some others too? You know, some who are a little weird. Are those people going to be in too? And there was this common confidence in the first century among first century Jews that just because we're Jewish, just because we're children of Abraham, obviously we're going to get in. We're going to be part of the kingdom. There's no question. We have the law. We have this ethnic heritage. Of course we're going to be in heaven. And Jesus says the door is narrow. Okay. Are there going to be a lot that come in? Jesus says, hey, the door is narrow. You got to come in through a narrow door. Our culture says there are many roads to the kingdom, many doors. You can come in however you want. Lots of doors, and you cut your own door if you want. Jesus says there's one door, and it's a narrow door to get into the kingdom. Okay, but then he turns the question onto his audience, and he says, you better be careful, because you could be outside when the door is shut. There's a narrow door, and it's not going to be open forever. At some point, they're going to close it and lock it, and you could find yourself on the outside. And I think Jesus' first century Jewish audience is like, oh, us on the outside? Is that even possible? You know, they're shocked by that. The master in the story won't let people in whom he doesn't know. And the question is not whether you have had some outside contact with Jesus, but whether you have received him, whether you really know him, whether you've brought him into you. You know, has there been an inside transformation? The narrow door is not your heritage, you know, as a Jewish person or as having a Christian family, or it's not exposure to religion. Oh, I went to the VBS as a kid. I went to Sunday school. That's not the narrow door. It's not your church attendance. It's not your church membership. It's not because you're baptized. Now, and you kind of need to qualify this, because I pray that if you have come in the narrow door, you will come to church and you will become a member and you will be baptized. But those external things don't. God isn't sitting at the gate of heaven saying, did they go to VBS? Did they, are they a member of the right church? He's not saying that. It's not because you've been a good person. What? I thought you just needed to be better than most to get in. It's not because you're one of those respectable people. That's not what the narrow door is. The narrow door is Jesus. Amen? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You know, he lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we should have died. We come in and sit at the heavenly banquet. We come in through that door, through Jesus, by receiving this gift by faith in what he has done for us. And it's going to be surprising to see who's on the inside and who's on the outside. Some people who were sure that they would get in are going to be left out. That's what Jesus is saying. There are people who were sure that they were in, and they're not going to be in. Because they would say, oh, I had some exposure to you. You know, I had family that were your people. You know, I was one of your people. I was on a lot of committees at church. And Jesus is going to be like, you didn't know me. You didn't receive me. I don't know where you came from. It's scary to think about, right? But he says the door is narrow. And I'm not saying this to scare you. Well, I am saying it to scare you a little bit. It's not a secret how you come in. It's through Jesus. I think we get hung up on so many other things. We need to get hung up on Jesus. So strive to enter through the narrow door. Be sure that you've entered through that narrow door. You know, I love it when you hear about somebody who's gone to church a long, long time, and then they're converted to Jesus, you know? And sometimes they'll say stuff like, you know, I was there all the time, but I never really heard the gospel. And I think what it is you heard it, you just weren't hearing it, you know? And then all of a sudden you heard it. And then they received Jesus into their hearts and believed, and they're in the kingdom then. And when you share your faith with others, I'm preaching to myself right now, don't muddy the waters. Make it about Jesus. And people ask me about the church, and they're, you know, where does this church fit in among all the churches, and what's the history, and what's the tradition, and what are your programs? And I get hung up on explaining all those things. We shouldn't muddy the waters. It's about Jesus, right? And what we need to be is we need to be Jesus people. We need to be people who are all about Jesus. And the question is whether you've received him and whether you're following after him. It's all about him. So while the door may be narrow, it's going to be surprising. Oh, okay. So that was the narrow door. Now we need to talk about how the kingdom is wide. Okay. While the door may be narrow, it's going to be surprising how many different kinds of people enter through it. Jesus says, they're coming from the north. They're coming from the south. They're even coming from Arkansas. They're coming from the east. They're coming from the west, and they're coming in through the door. And to his first century Jewish audience, he's like, hey, there's a whole hemisphere you've never heard of, and they're going to come from there. They're going to come from the nations that you don't like, all the people around you. They're going to come from all different places into the kingdom. All different kinds of people are going to come in through it. There's going to be people from every place on earth. And some of the least respected people, some of the least esteemed people, you know, the last are going to be first. Some of those people are going to get in. It's going to be amazing. And this is good news, my friends, because Jesus is talking about us. When he says they're coming from everywhere, he's talking about us. We're not the center of the universe, you know. And if you're standing in Jerusalem, or near Jerusalem, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he's talking. I mean, we're a long way from there, aren't we? But he's talking about us and how we were going to get in. So this is good news. And we need to look forward to seeing all different kinds of people with us in heaven. Are you looking forward to that? Do you know that the global center of Christianity is not in North America or in Europe, or it's not in Rome, it's not in Nashville? The center of Christianity is in Africa. The most, you know, that's where most believers are today. And when we get into heaven, we're going to look like the minority, and we better be happy about that, you know, because we better get used to that. And that should motivate us to want to share with every kind of person that we come across. And isn't it beautiful how all different kinds of people in the church can be united, even though they have these different cultures, different languages, different, you know, the people with no tattoos are looking at the people without tattoos and like, those people? Yeah, those people. And the people with a lot of tattoos are like, why don't they have more, you know, to the rest of us? And yeah, those people, you know, they're all going to come together. And we're going to be united because of Christ. It cuts through all kinds of culture. We need to be happy about that. Okay, so what is God's kingdom like? It may seem small now, but it's here, and it's going to be spectacular. That seed is going to grow. And it's powerful, too. That little speck of yeast is going to permeate everything, and and transform. It's got that kind of power. Anybody can come in, but not everybody will. The door's narrow. Anybody can come in, but you have to come in through that narrow door. And you better come in before it's too late. That door's going to shut. And the way in is Jesus. Jesus controls the destiny of every soul. He is the Lord. He is the King. He's the King of the kingdom. So let's praise Him together. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for this, and I pray that You would just use this in our lives, and we would see what You're doing, and thank You for Your awesome plan. Thank You for the good news of Your gospel, the way that You You bring Your salvation to us. We don't get to You. You come to us. We pray that we would receive this by faith and that we'd live it out and share it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.